the matter? Honey?
I have a terrible feeling.
About what?
That we didn't do something.
Ah, now you feel that way because we left in such a hurry. We took care of everything. Believe me, we did.
Did I turn off the coffee?
No. I did.
Did you lock up?
Yeah.
Did you close the garage?
That's it. I forgot to close the garage. That's it.
No, that's not it.
What else could we be forgetting?
The Lifers Podcast with Scott Lucas, Gabe Rodriguez, and Ben Reiser. And now, here's Scott, Gabe, and Ben.
All right. We got a packed show tonight.
Not yet.
We do.
Gabe, you got to pack some ice on your face.
I think this is going to be our best episode. All right, let's start. Ready?
Oh, I thought we'd been starting.
No. Here, we're starting now. Gabe.
And action.
Ben. All right, should we start over again?
Yes.
All right, listeners, this has been the third time we started this show. So
maybe we'll just start the show over and over again all night long.
Listen,
how about that? That's a concept.
One would think at this point we'd have the hang of this, but we don't.
No.
Let's not mess around any longer. Gabe.
Well, why don't we explain why? Because we've figured out that we're better at the intros at the end of a show. Tonight, we're actually doing things.
No, see, once again, you're talking too much about what's going on. This is all going.
Okay.
Let's start again. Hey, guys. We're back. It's been quite a week. How has your week been? My week has been really busy. It's been a crazy week. I don't know why I asked you guys about your week when I didn't really care, but I just wanted to say my week has been crazy. Gabe.
Am I hallucinating or did Gabe actually...
You're hallucinating.
Okay, never mind.
Did I what?
I think you said the full-on MF last week.
Did I?
Oh, yeah.
Sometimes he says motherfucker. Listen, Gabe thinks he's better than us. He likes to put on airs that he's better than us. He's not better than us. Gabe... Let's not mess around anymore. Who's on the show today? Let's get right to it. I'm very excited about today's show.
Okay,
and I'm very excited about our guest. Let's cut to the chase. People don't need to listen to this shit anymore. Gabe.
Yes. Today.
Who's on the show?
Today, the much anticipated bass player, songwriter, solo artist, and contributor to Triple Fast Action's rhythm section, Kevin Tiesta.
Okay. All right. Is that what you think?
Is that how you
know.
Say it? Is it Tiesta?
Know.
Tiesta, yes,
oh,
Tiesta.
I don't know him as well as you, Scott. Give him a better intro than that. What do you got?
Genius. He's a genius. He's a stone-cold genius. You're right. Yes, he was the bass player in Triple Fast Action. But he is also like one of those guys that like every time you listen to one of his songs, you're like, holy crikey. He is a great songwriter. His lyrics are just killer. So I'm watching him play last night, and I'm crying, you know? And he's got some new songs. You know, it's weird. It's like, he's my friend, but he's also, like, I look at him, and I watch him play, and I'm like, no, you're a legitimate genius. So Kevin Tiesta is on the show. Yes, he was the bass player in Triple Fast Action, and he will be here to talk about a lot of... Triple Fast has a lot of stuff going on, a lot of reissues. You know that Brian, who played in the band for a while, in Local H for a while, He was in Triple Fast. We all love Wes. He was the singer of Triple Fast. But
we all love Wes?
Do we all love Wes?
Okay.
I love Wes. Do you not love Wes? Did you not have a good time when Wes was here?
No, I did, but I don't know him well enough to say I love
him. Okay, well, we all love Wes. Ed and Wes is a legitimate great songwriter, but yeah. Kevin's the guy. And Kevin is, everybody that knows anything knows that Kevin was the secret sauce, if you will, Gabe.
Is he like the George Harrison of Triple Fast Act?
Yes, God damn it, yes. Yes, he was. He was. He was a secret weapon of that thing. And like, he was responsible for the little touches in those Triple Fast songs that you'd be like, where did that come from? You know, and he would do all those falsetto harmonies and stuff. And then when Triple Fast stopped, Kevin went out and made these brilliant, brilliant heartbreaking records that kill me to this day. So to have him play last night was amazing.
Isn't he also the man behind that wonderful kind of weird disco version of Bound for the Floor?
Bound for the Floor, yes. That is him. Let's hear a little bit of that right now. Heard that before, right, Gabe?
I've not heard it. Where? How can I have gone this long without hearing it?
You have heard it. You have heard it. Well, we talked about it. You brought it up, I think, originally.
No, I did not. But I still haven't heard it.
You dig that? You dig that jam?
Yeah. And so I saw Kevin open for you at the Empty Bottle, right? Didn't he open for the Married Men show that was there?
That's right. And it was House Sitters, and it was Kevin, and it was Mary Jane, and yeah.
And it's great. And listeners, never let it be said that this podcast doesn't give back to its loyal. I know we don't like to use the word fans, but listeners. I know a person who took in the whole Kevin Tiesta experience that night at Empty Bottle.
I know a few people have taken in the Kevin Tiesta experience.
This guy was never the same. And he's done almost nothing except talk about Kevin Tiesta in the 2 years since that show. And that's our own Jerry Slaughter.
Yes. Jerry knew that I was going to play a show with Kevin last night. He's like, get him on the show. So it's basically Jerry's doing that Kevin is on the show today. because, you know, he was like, you got to get him on the show. And I was like, great idea. Why didn't I ever think about it? But anyway, we don't have to go into it. Let's talk about something else. Let's talk about those Oscars.
How Gabe? About them Oscars?
Did you watch those Oscars?
I didn't really watch them. I was away from the house. I didn't have my phone handy. I was on the beach, walking the streets in the sand and stuff.
And remember, remember?
Huh?
Remember, walking in the sand.
Yes.
Remember,
I was enjoying the
hand in hand.
Fresh air.
Remember.
I wasn't stuck inside in front of the boob tube like you guys.
Oh, my God. Listen to you. You think you're more active than I am?
Get no, out of here. Not by the- Gabe will just use any excuse to say the word boob.
So tell me about these Oscars. What did I miss?
Apparently you didn't miss anything. Ben, you watched it, right?
I didn't. I was out on a shoot.
What the fuck? Am I the only one who watched the Oscars?
But let me just say this. I'm a man who spends over $300 a month on all this goddamn TV shit. Cable.
Mm. Sure.
It's on Hulu. Platforms, all that stuff.
It's on
stuff.
Hulu.
It wasn't live on Hulu.
No,
because my wife wanted to watch it live, and I had no way.
Your wife was out of luck, wasn't she?
On my way out the door, I had no idea how to do it.
So yeah, well, I guess your wife should be married to somebody who can afford like real time stuff. All right, hold on, we're gonna get to you, Fiona. So I guess your wife should be married to somebody who can afford real time stuff. So
well,
anyway,
luckily for her, my son was able to figure out that we do have some kind of ABC thing on the Roku.
Already been chewed. Thing. Yeah, it's on Hulu. So yeah. I go to, you know, we had Randy from Married Men on last week, right?
Oh, yeah.
And
did we?
By the way, tomorrow, Metro, Married Men with the Tossers at the Metro. Did I say it right, Gabe? At the Metro, Saturday night, we're playing. Come. Anyway, we always go to Randy's house. And every year, I kick the shit out of his kids in this Oscar pool. And every year, these little dummies think they're going to beat me, and they never do until this year. So let's have the winner, Fiona Payne, Randy's little monster. Fiona, are you there?
Hi.
Hi, Fiona.
Oh, wow. She beat you, huh?
What are you doing with all that money that you took off me?
I bought my concert outfit for Olivia Rodrigo. That's what I did.
You bought a concert outfit for Olivia Rodrigo? Oh, isn't that so cute? All right, so do you know Gabe and Ben?
No, I don't, actually. Hi.
Hey, there's
Hi, nice
Gabe.
Nice to meet you.
Hello there.
There's Ben.
Hi.
Congratulations on your stunning victory.
Yes.
Thank
so
you.
It was a stunning victory. In more
was
ways
it close?
Than one. Oh, my God.
I don't know. I think I got one more than you.
Yeah, that's close,
that
dummy. Yeah, all right. So... You've been angling for me for how many years to win?
For like, as long as I've been alive, you know? As long as I've been able to make a conscious decision.
You came out of the womb, and you're like, I'm going to beat Scott at the Oscar pool. Yeah, right. So you
How
did,
old are
so,
you? You're in your late 20s or something?
I'm 15.
Oh, my goodness. Amazing.
Uh-huh. So tell them a little bit about how you did it.
Well, for the first time in forever, I actually watched all the movies.
Nice.
And, you know, I don't know. It's just luck, I guess. It was kind of an easy year, I think.
First of all, it wasn't luck. Gabe, tell me if this sounds fishy to you. All of the answers were exactly the same as mine, except for one. And this is how she won. She picked The Boy and the Heron. And I picked Spider-Man.
Well, I don't know why you picked Spider-Man. That was just a bad decision.
Yeah, that was a huge mistake.
Listen, I'll get back to you, Fiona, when I want you to talk. All right, I'm talking to my friends right now.
I see.
You're not one.
Which category is this?
So, best animated feature, right, Fiona, right?
Okay. Yes.
So I go to the bathroom. I fill out my ballot. I go to the bathroom. I come back. Fiona's standing above my ballot going, all right, I filled it out.
Okay. That's not true.
And then I look at her ballot. She has all of the same answers that I have. Guys, does this seem fishy?
That's not true.
Why
at all.
Do you and I have the same
There's witnesses,
exact answers?
Scott. Witnesses.
Except for one. What?
There's witnesses. People who saw me not.
We'll get to that in a second. I'm trying to understand how you made this rookie mistake of betting against Miyazaki at the Oscars.
I'm sorry. What was your favorite movie of the year, Mister? It's a work of art.
Spider-Man. But I wouldn't vote for it. I wouldn't do it. If I was in an Oscar pool, I wouldn't pick it over The Boy and the Heron, which I haven't even seen.
But when it happened, and here's the thing about it, is it happened like, Fiona, it was
What's the matter? Austin Butler wasn't around for you to pick?
Why don't you shut up? Fiona, it was the fourth category, right? Announced.
Mm-hmm.
So it was a long night, man. Because like every other answer she had was exactly the same as mine.
That's not true.
It was.
Well, it's not true if it was the same one if I won and you
except
lost.
For Boy and the Heron and Spider-Man. So all night I'm like, there's no way I can beat this chick because she went with Boy and the Heron and she got me. And I'm sitting there like going, oh, and I'm stewing. And she's going around like dancing like, you're an idiot, Scott. That's kind of what it was like, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was actually.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah. How was the pizza I left there for you?
It was good.
Yeah, I'll bet. But you enjoyed it. Dancing around with your money.
I did enjoy the pizza, Scott. I did. Yeah.
Okay. All right. Well, I guess I'm done with you. Anything else to say?
No, I just.
So how much money did you win? $1,000?
I won $120.
That's pretty good. That's a pretty good haul.
But I like regret a lot of my decisions.
I regret all of your decisions.
Because like there were some where I'm like, why did I do that? That was so dumb of me. Like, I could have gotten a perfect score.
All of them. Don't make me go into this again. It's embarrassing for you, is what it is. You sound bitter. You sound bitter.
Yeah.
You sound like a poor winner.
How did the two of you do on the rest of the night? I understand you had the same answers, but what was your bad
average? We nailed it. Like, basically, we got four wrong, right? I got five.
I got four wrong, yes.
You got
what
four
were the,
wrong.
What were the ones five. You got wrong?
Best well, we got, act.
Lily Gladstone, everybody which screwed the pooch on that, right?
Yeah. And
did that hurt you? Did
it did. Lily,
yeah.
I was heartbroken.
Have you gotten over it? Eating my pizza and waving around
my
money?
I wake up every day and I'm just like, why?
Don't beat yourself up. All that matters is that you beat me and next year I'm going to come with major fire. And
well, if I beat you this year, what makes you think I won't beat you next year?
Well, because I'm going to keep a close eye on my ballot next year, and you're going to have to think for yourself.
I'm going to put it in a safe.
Ooh. All right. Well, Fiona, thanks for stopping by and making me feel worse again.
Of course.
Congratulations.
Anytime.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
You're a card.
Okay.
All right.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye-bye, Fiona.
Why are you still there? Yeah, so that's what I did over the weekend. Got beat by a 15-year-old. Not happy about it, but I still... What are the odds?
Honestly, the fishy thing to me is you not picking the Miyazaki. I almost feel like you threw it so she could get one on you.
If I were that nice, that would be amazing. But I'm not. I don't want to get beat by a 15-year-old.
We all know you're a
sweetheart. She sucks.
Oh.
This is the time. I've got a conscience, I can stop on a dime. I know there isn't a doubt. Let's get to moving it in and moving it out. I'm like a film star who's out of control. I'm like a I'm in distress, so what's it gonna take for you to lose interest? Oh, I've gotta tell you about the good, good life. Oh, I've gotta This is the time I will show me yours if you will show you mine. I know there isn't a doubt. Let's get to pulling it over. Just went gold. I'm like the very last ticket to the sold out show. Oh, babe, you know I love you the best. But what's it gonna take for you to lose the dress? Oh, I've gotta tell you about the good, good.
She totally sucks. All right, who do we have on the show today, Gabe?
Kevin Tiesta.
And have you learned anything about Kevin Tiesta since we talked about it last?
I learned that he covered Bomb for the Floor in a fascinating way that I still haven't heard.
Would you like to listen?
Sure.
So Scott, you what's going on with you? You have a Monday night residency throughout the month.
Who'd you hear that from?
From you.
Yeah, I'm doing a thing. I'm doing a thing with my buddy Tanner Dane.
So that's happening at the same place every Monday this month. Well, you don't want to reveal
in and around. Yeah, we're doing another one on this Monday at Dorian on North Avenue. And it's good. If you're out and about, check it out. Gabe?
I'm fascinated by this video for Bound that Kevin did. This is like...
Now, do you remember seeing this 2 years ago?
No. Wow.
What's fascinating about it?
I'm waiting for the lyrics. Are they coming, or is this all instrumental?
I think there's lyrics.
I mean... The only thing more fun than listeners listening to pictures that they can't see is listening to Gabe listen to stuff they can't hear that neither of us can hear either.
You can play it in the background when I'm talking about it.
Oh, thanks,
producer. Is that John Travolta?
Oh, yeah. Oh, here's a good idea for you, Ben.
Yeah, thanks.
I don't think they're working.
You know how to put, Ben, do you know how to put a show together? Allow Gabe to tell you.
I know last year when you did St. Patrick's at the Metro, was it at the Metro?
At the Metro, yeah, that's right.
It was you guys opening for the Tossers. Is that the same thing this
year? That's the same deal, yes.
They're not afraid to go on after you, huh?
No. Tossers rule. The Tossers are great. Great Chicago institution, like Kevin Tiesta, for instance. Gabe, are you still listening to this video?
I've got it in the lyrics background. Started? This is good background music. Mm-hmm.
I wish
maybe that should be our new theme song for the podcast.
Well, maybe Gabe should just pay attention to when the show was happening.
I am. I'm fascinated by this in the background. If I didn't have this in my mind now, I couldn't talk to Kevin about
it
later.
Amazing. Scott? You could have fucking listened to it earlier.
I didn't know he did this.
All right, take him off. Stop it. Let's get back to where we're supposed to be.
I was going to say when last we left you, you were about to have a rehearsal with the Married Men. How did that rehearsal go?
Oh, man, it was terrible.
Well, I'm proud of us. Two lifers died this week, and not because we mentioned them on the show.
Okay.
It wasn't our fault.
All right. One, I know what you're going to say. One, and this... I'm a huge Waterboys fan, and I don't know if a lot of people know that, but Gabe knows this. Waterboys are one of my favorite bands of all time. And Carl Wallinger was one of the architects of probably my favorite Waterboys record, This Is the Sea. So we lost Carl Wallinger. Correct, Ben?
That is correct. That's one okay. out of the two. Yeah. I saw something.
Were you a big World Party fan, Ben?
I was not a big Waterboys or World Party fan at the time, but for some reason on whatever Spotify mix I have going on, this World Party song, Put the Message.
Yeah, Put the Message in the Bottle. Yeah,
in the Bottle, right.
Yeah.
That song is always popping up, and I really like it. And so for the last year or so, I've been like, this is great. Oh, this is World Party? Okay, this is better than the World Party songs I remember from back in the day, like that Ship of Fools.
Big XRT hit. Here in town.
Great song.
Yeah.
Gabe, but wait.
Any Carl Wallinger feelings?
The Waterboys to me have a place in my heart right next to The Replacements.
Sorry.
Okay. Anyway, who's the other lifer that we lost, Ben?
We lost a guy who really you can't he's undeniable. Eric Carmen.
Eric Carmen, right.
Who with the Raspberries.
Right.
Created now, some of the greatest power pop
right.
songs.
Let's ask Gabe if he even knows who Eric Carmen is. Don't give us your hungry eyes bullshit, Gabe.
Look I'm him. Reading that he's look the singer-songwriter of All By Myself. Mm-hmm. The song,
All
that song?
By Myself.
And Hungry Eyes, that's the same guy?
Yeah, listen, we don't want to talk about that nonsense. Not the syrupy stuff. Ben is talking about, like, the Raspberries, right?
Yeah.
Ben's talking about Let's Go All the Way.
Yeah.
Do you know Let's Go All the Way, Gabe?
I don't know the Raspberries. Who are the Raspberries?
You know it.
Oh, my God. So I got to watch him.
He's getting close with that face again.
Raspberries? Go All the Way?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know the song. Let's see.
Oh, yes, you do.
No chance I know the song.
Guaranteed.
No, watch him. Watch the hint of recognition in his eyes. And then he looks at his side and goes, huh? He's like a dog. Like goes, do I want to go outside? Whoa.
You know what the best part of last week's episode was? That he finally got a win, Randy Payne, but he still was the loser because he like bet all his money that there's no way that Randy.
I'll bet against it. Gabe, you know this song, right? Look at him.
No, I've never heard this in my life.
Oh, you look like a fucking dog.
Oh, I know this dumb song. It took 40 seconds for me to even recognize anything of the song.
Yeah, because you only know the choruses, and it took 40 seconds to get to the chorus.
I know, but that's a sign of a bad song.
No, it's not. It's the sign that you're a Cro-Magnon. That's the sign.
No, this I hate this song.
Oh, stop it.
Gabe is... Strike two.
I feel like Larry David when...
Good riddance to both of them.
Listen...
Man, Gabe, you're a heartless dog.
They had the typo in the obituary and they call her a fun-loving cunt. Remember that?
Oh, wow.
Listen.
Beloved Gabe said cunt. Gabe said cunt.
You remember that?
Beloved.
That's what I feel like right now. I'm spitting on these guys' graves.
I didn't even make you say that. That's amazing.
I'm reciting a word from a line.
Don't breathe a word this night. Me, no one will find out.
Apparently, last week, Gabe had his heart removed. I can't believe you're talking shit about two people that we lost. Gabe, who do we have on the show today?
I don't want to talk too much about Kevin T. yesterday. We might put a jinx on him.
No? What does that mean?
There's two people we're talking about we just lost that, you know, we're no longer with us.
We're not losing. Like, I saw Kevin last night, and he looked great. Like, so Kevin
was he in fine fettle?
Listen, he's rocking this look where it's like he's gone totally gray, but he's decided to like have like really long, curly, tendril-like hair, right? And it is, there is something very George Harrison about his look, but it's beyond George Harrison. Like even George Harrison never thought to have this look. I mean, it's amazing. Kevin Tiesa looks great. And when he shows up, you're going to see how great he looks.
Gabe. Is he naturally gray? Is it natural? Or did he dye it gray?
Well, we're all naturally gray sooner or later. I'm looking at the Amish thing going on underneath your chin.
You're asking if Kevin dyed his hair gray?
Yeah, some people do that. Women these days, they dye their hair gray.
Women these days? Listen, you're such a feminist.
You haven't seen the ladies wearing gray hair like it's hip?
All right. Stop talking. Let's pivot from the Oscars to the Hall of Fame, the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. Gabe, your favorite subject. Have you filled out your ballot yet?
Let me pull it up so I can see what I'm looking at.
Let's pull up some ballots. What do we got? What
fan is it? Vote.
Under Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. So Rock and Roll Hall of Fame... fan vote? Is that what we're all looking up?
I see it. You can select the nominee.
Fan vote or fan ballot? What is it? Fan vote. Got
vote.rockhall.com.
Here we go.
We can pick it in real time.
That's right. I agree to your stupid cookies. All right. So what happens? We pick three? How does this work, Gabe?
Pick up to seven.
Up once to seven?
Per day. That's like more than half.
Up to seven once a day, every day through April 26th? What kind of fucking thing is this?
That's freaking nonsense. Here's the problem. It's like when people, like, at the end of the year, here's my top 35 movies of the year. No. Uh-oh. Here's my top 50 albums of the year. No. That just means every album you heard is going on this list. You're an idiot.
So how many should we pick together here? Let's make
three.
It, let's make
God this. Damn it!
I got three. I got it right now.
Three. Gabe, you got. I mean, Ben, you got three. For me, this is easy as pie.
Sure. I'm not going to log in to vote though.
I've got two that I would legit vote for, and then I don't know. I'm having trouble with the third one.
They're honestly giving us seven. How many are there? One,
like seven.
Two, three, four, five, six, 15. Seven, eight, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15. Okay. Should we do three?
Yeah.
Ben, what's your three?
Foreigner, Sinead O'Connor, and then I don't fucking know. Cool in the Gang, I guess.
Cool. Cool. Hey, yeah. Who I got no problem second. With that. Gabe, what do you got?
I'm picking Cool in the Gang.
Oh, okay.
Peter Frampton.
Whew.
and Ozzy Osbourne.
Mm-hmm. Okay, here's what I'm picking. Ozzy Osbourne, because I have to live with Justine, mm-hmm. Sinead O'Connor. Mm-hmm. And here's what I'm doing. I'm doing Foreigner. I don't give a shit. Ozzy Osbourne, yeah. Sinead O'Connor, and Foreigner. And I'm happy with those choices.
It feels like the first time.
Three of the greatest vocalists that ever played the game, as far as I'm concerned. Lou Gramm, man. Where is Lou Gramm?
He's working the Midnight Blue somewhere.
Oh, dude. How great is Midnight Blue?
Great.
That's a great song. Amazing.
Did you ever tell a story when you got to work with, what's his name? What is his name from Foreigner?
Yes. Did I tell that story? Have I told that story?
I don't know.
We were recording Here Comes the Zoo. And I had a day off. And so the people at the label, they said, hey, do you want to work with Mick Jones? And I said, Mick Jones from The Clash or Mick Jones from Foreigner? And they said, Mick Jones from Foreigner. I said, fuck yeah.
So, Would you have said no to Mick Jones from
The Course not. But I was very excited to work with Mick Jones from Foreigner.
Yeah.
So I went over to his house.
Wow.
And we to Mick Jones's house. And we, you know, worked on this song. And it's terrible. And no one's ever going to hear it. But we're hanging out. And his son-in-law comes home. And his son-in-law happened to be Mark Ronson. And Mark Ronson was like, hey, Dad, hi. You know, he's like, oh, this is my son. He's quite a successful DJ. I'm like, great.
He's the son-in-law and he calls him Dad?
Whatever. I'm paraphrasing. And he's like, yeah, I just produced this record with Nick Acosta and, you know, put in the video and it was great and it was awesome. I was like, oh, cool. And I was like, yeah, good luck with that. So, that was an aside of how it went.
I picture somebody firing off a gun to the beat of Loverboy or something while this is happening.
No, nothing. Okay. But my idea for the song that I wanted to work on, I was like, all right, here's what I want to do. I have this idea for a song, and it's a cross of Don't Fear the Reaper and Hot Blooded. And he goes, interesting. It's the end of that story. Gabe, who do we have on the show today?
Well, Kevin Tiesta. He's going to make an appearance. And he's going to tell us his life story, how he got started in the music.
I noticed
what we've been doing lately.
So I noticed we've been on the show for I don't know how long. He's still not here.
Oh, we're patient people.
All right. Well, here's the thing. Here's something you might not know about Kevin Tiesta. Have you ever seen The Lost Boys, Gabe?
No. And you probably knew I didn't see it. So go ahead. Tell us about it.
Ben, you've seen The Lost Boys, right?
Absolutely, I have.
Now, would you say that's Joel Schumacher's masterpiece?
Yes.
I would go for Flatliners.
Oh, not me.
Okay. Anyway, Kevin grew up where Lost Boys takes place.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So, okay. And he was also kind of in the movie. So if you watch very closely, you can see Kevin.
What scene is he in?
He's in the one with all the vampires.
Ah, okay.
Who just joined us on the show?
Gabe?
It looks like we got a giant man that's impersonating Jerry Slaughter here.
Jerry Slaughter, what are you doing here?
I was in the neighborhood, fair drop by.
So, Jerry, who we all love, he's a good friend of the band, good friend of the show. Good to have you, Jerry. What time do you start work?
Oh, I was supposed to start work in like 15 minutes, but I went ahead and called and told him I was going to be late because I wouldn't miss this for the world. the place is closing up in 2 years, man, okay? There's really not a lot going on here.
Well, so are we, so I guess you fucked up.
Well, in all fairness to us, in booking Jerry to come onto the show, I said, Jerry, are you available tonight? And he said, oh, I'm going to work. I have to be out at 9:30. And I said, okay. And I did the math in my head, and I said, oh, that's not going to work. Okay, never mind. And then a little while later, and he said, oh, no, I could call in late. I'm like, no, I don't want you to do that.
Give me
I said,
stories.
I said, "What are you?" I said, "You're on the Eastern time zone, right?" He said, "No, I'm Central time."
Fascinating. And I said, Eastern.
I have slept like on and off all day today, so like I was fresh out of a nap and I saw the messages from you and I saw the messages from Ben and I'm like, something's going on here. So I was like,
Jerry, you strike me as I've been asleep on and off all day kind of guy.
Oh, I've.
It seems to me like you need a lot of sleep to keep that frame of yours moving. Throughout
that's
the day,
I'm fat.
Right. It's like you take a couple steps. You're like, oh, I gotta take a nap.
I would do whatever Jerry does if I could get a head of hair like that.
Hey, if I didn't take naps, I wouldn't be able to obstruct views like I do at the shows. So I would just be slumped over the entire time.
Anyway, so we were playing the show last night with Kevin and House Sitters, and you send me Jerry. You send me a message out of nowhere. Say, hey. You should get Kevin on the show. Now, what you don't understand is, first of all, yeah, it's a great idea, and you're not the first one to have it. So I've been talking to Kevin for a long time trying to get him on the show. And I told him that you were into the idea and that you were pushing for it. And he goes, well, Jerry's talking about it. Maybe I'll do it. But listen, Kevin's a freak. And so to get him on the show, like you got to push him. I mean, tell us about your experience talking to Kevin Tiesta.
Well, actually, it was almost 2 years ago. I actually met him at the Scott Lucas and Married Men show at the Empty Bottle.
Right.
House Sitters opened up, and I'd already seen some of his. I knew some of his work. Like I knew that he played bass in Triple Fast Action.
Right.
I knew he was in Suburic Assault for a short time.
Oh right, I forgot about that.
And then I saw the remix video he did for Bound for the Floor.
Mm. You know who never seen that was Gabe. Gabe Rodriguez didn't even know that existed.
The whole disco thing. So yeah. I'm up front. I watched the whole set, and I tell him right after his set when he's breaking down, I love the disco version of Bound for the Floor. Not any of his previous work. Didn't mention anything about the show itself, but that's the first thing that came to mind. I just completely fanboyed out right there.
Right.
So even afterwards, after the show, after you guys finished up, I still hung out and talked to him and Mary Jane for a while.
Yeah.
And then,
she's great. How great is she?
Oh, she's a peach. She's fantastic.
Yeah. And their voices sound so great together.
Oh, that's something that really hit me. It's like they did that one part that was just a complete duet with no guitar or anything. It was just magical.
Yeah.
You tell they were completely in love, and it was just fantastic.
Were you able to not cry during that part? Because I wasn't.
Oh, yeah. I held it together pretty well.
Okay.
There's no crying in the front row, Scott. There's no crying.
No, there is. That's what the front row is for.
Oh, yeah.
Chicks Jerry, up front, and criers up front. That's the way it goes in punk rock.
This wasn't a Michael Jackson moment, okay? I wasn't going to fall over like the banister and, like, you know, just start screaming and crying or anything, so.
It's okay.
But after that, I kept in contact with him on Facebook. Actually, right after that show, I was supposed to head home. So I was supposed to, I had some other plans for later that weekend.
Right.
But I messed up on my bus schedule, so I ended up staying in Chicago, like, pretty much an extra night. And that extra night, I just was hanging around and listening to Spotify and listened to the album On This Dark Street.
Oh, God, that's great.
Because the first song that really hit me that he did was Jack K.
Yeah.
And after that, I was like hooked in, synced in. A lot of people had tuned out, but it was like for a different reason. Like Taylor Hawkins had been announced to be dead. Like, so everybody's phone.
Oh, that was the night that Taylor Hawkins died.
Yeah, a lot was going on that evening.
Right, I remember that, yeah.
But I was still entranced. I was enjoying that entire show. So after that, like, I listened to On This Dark Street maybe five times that night, just walking around the streets of Chicago. It was a perfect soundtrack for it.
I'm sorry, but I ripped the cover off of your Jack Kerouac novel. But I had to blow my nose. I had to blow my nose. I'm sorry, but I ripped the cover off of your Jack Kerouac novel, but I had to blow my nose. I had to blow my nose somewhere around Santa Cruz County. I was forced to throw out your cassette. I know you think Dylan's a genius, but that doesn't justify two plays on the deck. Right here, take a left at the lamppost. I'll show you where I used to live. It's the house with that punk in the front, thumbing our way for a lift. No chance, young man, don't hold your breath. There's only two ways out of this town, that's prison or death. Speaking of which, here's the plan. I know a store that sells beer by the can. I'll shove the cans in my coat while you show your tits to the man. Goddamn, I hate this city for the things it drives us to do. Goddamn, I just wish we could say that we was just passing through. So come on, let's drive to the beach tonight and get drunk by the light of the moon. I've got a real funny story. Well, it may not be that funny to you. I'm sorry, but I ripped the cover off of your Jack Kerouac novel. But I had to blow my nose. I had to blow my nose.
But yeah, it's a, like, it was just one of these things where, like, I would just ask him a bunch of random questions. It almost felt like an interview after a little bit. I'm like, you know what? You should really do Scott's podcast. And he's like, That's when things got a little quiet there.
Right.
So let me ask you something, Jerry. When Kevin comes on, do you have some questions for him, or are you all questioned out?
Oh,
you already had
absolutely.
Your interview with him.
If nobody else has questions, I'll always have questions for Kevin. So.
Well, Gabe apparently doesn't have any questions for Kevin, but Gabe might actually have a question for you. Gabe,
Okay. Should
we pose the Gabe question to Jerry, see what he has to say?
I think we should. He's been on enough.
All right.
What do you think? How do you think it's going to go?
I don't like my chances, but we'll see.
I like your chances.
I have no idea. Your chances are pretty good.
I don't
have a guess about this.
Now, how old are you, Jerry?
41. No, 42. I'm 42 now. Holy shit.
Okay. Then you might be ripe for the picking on this one. I like that mug you got there. I'm talking about the glass, the drink.
Yeah.
No, we get it.
GPRecords.com.
So if you had to choose between two bands, you could only listen to one for the rest of this time you're on a desert island. You can only listen
for the
to
rest
band.
Of your life, Jerry. For the rest of this time that you're on this earth,
you're on a shift. You're on a shift at the factory, and you only have one CD in your
pretend
Sony
this desert
Disney.
Island is someplace that you're never getting out of, and you only yes. have a choice for
you can
one
only
band.
Two bands: The Replacements or Iron Maiden.
All right, so I've actually thought about this a couple times since I've
he's heard dreamed about ever. He's dreamed
have
about
you heard this
yeah,
question
answering
before?
This question
about this moment. But if I had to go one way or the other, just for nostalgia reasons, in fact, I was introduced to him first, Iron Maiden.
Wow, I told you, Gabe. I told you, you get it.
Well, the first memories I have, like, of actually meeting my half sister in Ohio was she had this huge tapestry of Peace of Mind on her wall. And I'm like, I remember just being scared out of my mind of the vision of Eddie in the chains and just like, against the wall. And I'm like, and she's like, nothing to be afraid of. Let me play some for you. And then like she played Flight of Icarus. And after Ooh. That, I was just like, you know what? Yeah, this works.
Gabe, what do you think about this?
I respect Jerry more every time I talk to him. And now now he's one up on Ben.
I'll eventually have to let you kick my ass in bowling.
He's one up on me? What does that mean?
I'm consistently inconsistent at bowling.
Hold on a second. Let me ask this question of Scott. Okay.
Go.
Now, we're talking about Jerry and movies. He's got his debut coming out soon, where he's going to be on the silver screen. Is it going to say, introducing Jerry Slaughter in the credits?
Nah. So, Gabe, who do we have on the show today?
Well,
who is Jerry waiting for?
We're trying to get Kevin Tiest down here to talk to one of his biggest fans, Jerry.
When did we tell Kevin to come on?
What time is it now? I told him that he should have been here by now. I mean, we usually do.
Oh, wait. Somebody just rang in. Hang on.
Oh, who's here?
We got our man. I think we bagged our white whale.
I think he's here. Jerry, you ready?
Absolutely. Oh.
Who's this?
White whale. This is what you call the white whale?
No, that was an unfortunate choice of words. Excuse me. Pardon me.
Who's this?
I thought I was bad with my Steve Bannon.
I feel like I need to mix it up with this gentleman. Aha!
Look who it is. It's Brian Blockinger.
Hey, guys.
Hey, we thought maybe you'd be Kevin Tiesta, but you're not. You're Brian Blockinger.
Did I fuck it up?
No, you're great. Jerry Slaughter, do you know Brian Blockinger?
How you doing, man?
I have not met him, but I know of him. Hello, Brian.
Yes, Brian is one of the best people on the planet. You're lucky to meet him. He's, you know, he's not the genius that Kevin Tiesta is, but, you know, none of us are.
This is only, hard to believe this is only Brian's second appearance on the show. Is that right?
Brian, is this only the second time, huh?
That's the second one. But it was one time.
But your aura, if you will, hangs over this show.
Are we saying that he's been on the show less times than I've been on the show?
Maybe.
I think that could be.
Yeah. Maybe. No. This is your second time, right?
No. I was on one of the first Road Reports with Ben when you guys were at Shank Hall.
If you think that counts.
Then the Metro show.
All right.
And then I was on a Thanksgiving episode and sure. One episode where I talked to you guys from work.
Gosh, all right. All I'm saying is this is Brian Blockinger. Brian, how are you?
Doing awesome, man. It's great to be doing this again.
It's been too long. Did you watch the Oscars the other night?
I did.
What'd you think?
And I thought it was, I didn't see many of the movies. I watched a Scorsese movie that day.
What'd you think?
And fell asleep a few times, but I loved it.
So, that's all right.
I had to go back. It might have had a lot to do with the night before, but okay. I did like that. I saw the Barbie movie. That was okay. What'd you think? You know?
Yeah. Okay.
I didn't hate it.
No Zone of Interest. No Anatomy of a Fall.
No. What was that one that won everything?
Poor Things.
Yeah, that looks really uninteresting to me.
it's not a good movie.
It's a great movie. You're right.
It's not. Oh, my God.
It's a masterpiece.
It's fucking B-level Tim Burton at best.
Yeah, I thought it was Tim Burton for half the Oscars. Yeah. I was like, when's he going to get his Oscar here?
Yeah, Jesus Christ, it is. So let's talk about Kevin Tiesta. When was the first time you met Kevin? How'd you meet him?
Oh, my God. So 1986... I'm just out of high school.
Uh-huh.
Sean Rice and Mark Skillcorn and I get into my Camaro and we drive to San Jose, California.
Mm-hmm.
And Skillcorn's going to stay with his parents, his father and his stepmother. But Sean and I are going to stay with Mark's punk rock friend, Kevin, that none of us have met before. And we got exchanged in a parking lot somewhere. You know, I just literally like, hey, this is Kevin. You're going to be staying with him. And I get in Kevin's car, and I'll never forget this. I'm sitting there, and the Eurythmics are on, and I'm like, well, it's taking this guy a long time to change the radio station. You know, like, we're doing that.
Wait, what then, song?
Sweet Dreams? Tell you. No, it wasn't that. Is there some kind of Mystery Man or something Man or something like that?
Missionary Man?
Okay.
Missionary Man. Don't mess around with the Missionary Man. That's exactly it.
Okay. So we're listening to that song. And then another song comes on.
It's taking him a long time.
And it's Eurythmics. Like, I don't know it. And I'm like, that's not a radio station. I'm at a tape. This guy's got a tape in Eurythmics and I'm staying with, you know? But I was really concerned that Skillcorn dropped me up with this Eurythmics fan guy. And we go back to his house and a day later, I love Kevin for life. You know, we became very good friends very fast. We were hanging around Santa Cruz. I think it was like around the same time that The Lost Boys was being filmed.
Yeah. And like, I told you guys.
We did it all except the greasy guy with a saxophone. I mean, we had every other vampires, you know. It was really a fun time.
So did you have anything to do with Kevin getting into Triple Fast Action?
I don't know if I could actually take credit for it. I believe I was there the night. I think it was a party at my buddy Otto's house in the basement. And I might have gone there with Brian Sinclair. And, I think that was when I first got the news that Rights Accused was about to end. And I was really bummed. I was really upset about it.
As we all
and, it was a big thing for me. I love them.
Yeah.
And so I think that Kevin and Brian had something going on the side. Kevin, Brian, and Wes. Like that maybe the other people in the bands didn't know about yet. And Kevin was in a band called Wood at the time. I don't know if you're familiar with that.
I'm not.
They would be like the Rites Accused opening band, lots of nights. 77 Luscious Babes, like that, you know, that era type stuff. And I don't know if it was my idea to talk to Ron Schneider about it or not. It might have been Kevin's. But I always felt like Triple Fast Action started in my buddy Otto's basement, you know. And it was a good thing. Is Kevin going to no show here?
Don't say that. Do you think that's what's going to happen? Do you think he's not going to show up? I feel like that's
what's going to happen. God, show with just Gary and Brian. That's not good, Scott.
I was just waiting for Kevin.
Listeners, if you're tuning in late, Kevin Tiesta is not dead. This is not his wake. He just is supposed to be here. He hasn't gotten.
We're just
here
waiting
yet.
For him.
And in the meantime, we're telling Kevin Tiesta anecdotes, but he's alive and well.
He's fine.
Scott, at what point did you hear Triple Fast?
Well, Triple Fast was the thing that, like you know, when we started, we weren't even part of the Chicago thing. We were from Zion, and that was kind of by design. We were like, we want to separate ourselves from the Chicago pack. We're from Zion, so we were always outside of it. So we'd, you know, I'd read Margusak's column or Wyman or whoever was writing at the time, and they're talking about the bands that were getting signed. And Triple Fast to me was like, oh, they're the cream of the crop. They're the top of this wave of bands. At least that's what I thought. And then I met him. I was like, oh, no, not really.
But how about, were you there for the Red State Q's days?
No. I mean, I'd seen him open up for a few bands. But, I mean, I didn't know those guys. Gabe, you didn't know those guys back then, did you?
No, they were just on every bill and every show that ever happened. But
I thought you were on their street team.
They were just like clowns. Gabe was just like, who are these clowns again?
Yes, they were a party band, and they're just they're always opening for the band.
And Gabe doesn't like to party. All right, Brian, no. The main thing is, like, did you know that, like, Kevin had this? Because honestly, my thing is, I know a lot of great songwriters, and I have a lot of friends who are great songwriters, but like Kevin is a friend of mine who is he's a stone cold genius. Like, you know, when he plays a song and I just, the way it comes out of him, and I don't even know if he's trying. I don't know how he does it. Like, I can't see him trying. I can't hear him trying, but it comes out and it's brilliant, and every song is more brilliant than the last. So was there a point other than Eurythmics songs where you were like, all right, this guy is doing something else on another level that we're not going to see yet, but we will see?
I think it took me a long time to appreciate it.
Yeah.
Longer than it should have. Yeah. In fact, when the first album came out, I would have probably said, it's mostly Wes and, you know, Brian's incredible drums, you know, but right. When it came to the songs, I would have said it was all Wes.
Right. Of course.
And, yeah, Kevin, you know, he is a very special songwriter, and he would, anytime Kevin and I would talk about his music, he would start off like, you're going to hate this.
Right. Yeah.
That's just how he would present it to me, you know? So, but no, I wish I did. I did catch on to that sooner.
Jerry, I don't think Kevin's showing up.
Yeah, I don't think Kevin's showing up either.
You got to go to work?
Yeah, I'm going to have to bail out here in a little bit. But this was awesome, and I really appreciate you guys calling and letting me know.
Well, I'm sorry that you took off work to hang out with Kevin Tiesta, who decided that wasn't important enough for him to show up.
That's just the kind of guy that Kevin is.
That's the kind of guy that
Kevin's
Kevin is.
Kevin's a great guy. But he doesn't show up sometimes.
He doesn't show up for stuff.
How does Jerry know Kevin? Have you guys gone over that?
What?
How does Jerry know Kevin?
We've gone over it.
Yes. Oh, you went over it. Okay.
Yeah.
I'll learn on Friday. Okay.
Yeah, you'll learn on Friday. But yeah, Jerry's a huge fan. And today's show, by the way, was Jerry's idea. I'd never thought of having Kevin on the show before. It was Jerry's idea, and Kevin decided not to show up.
It was a good idea.
I'm not shocked. Guy's kind of a recluse anyway, but at the same time, kind of disappointed. But this would still end up being a lot of fun. And I know if I did go to work after all this, that he would have shown up, and it would just be all sorts of awkward. And I don't know. I think I made the right decision anyway. So this was still really cool to be on a show with you guys and getting to meet Brian. So that was really cool too. So
yeah, Brian's a nice consolation prize.
Thank you.
You only live once.
Congratulations, you are turtle wax.
right. Yeah, I don't know what to say. I really thought he was going to show up.
Yeah.
Well, there's always next time.
Is there, though? Should there be a next time is my question.
I would give him a second chance. Why
not? Next time we're going to have Kevin on because we're going to tell him that we're bringing you on, Jerry, and then you don't have to show up.
I think I mentioned that last night.
Ben, are you saying I should big time Kevin?
Yeah, that's exactly what I'm saying.
All right, man. Have fun at work.
All right. We'll see you guys later.
Okay.
Thanks.
Take care.
Thanks for rearranging your schedule for us.
I can't believe you made him come on the show, Ben.
Now, let me say this one more time. I said, Jerry, what do you got going on tonight? And he said, I'm going to work. at 9:30. And I thought, okay, he's East Coast time. That's 8:30 for us. That's
listen, I can't have the East Coast Central conversation with you. We all get time works, except for Gabe.
I understand.
Gabe doesn't seem to understand how time works.
I know.
But we all get it.
Yes, but.
This is not interesting podcasting.
Excuse me. Excuse me. I just don't want to be defamed. I never would have made. Then later on, he said, I can come. I don't
Jerry's
mind.
Still there, by the way. He's listening to you. I can see him right there. No, he just
now, Jerry, that's fine. Jerry can back me up. Then I said, later on, he came by. He said, oh, you know, I could call in for work too. I said, listen, I don't know. Kevin's flaky. I don't want you to change your plans at all. He said, okay, well, you know, just let me know. And then I said, then I thought, maybe I'm wrong. Maybe he's not on East Coast time. And I said, Jerry, you're on East Coast time, right? And Jerry said, no, I'm Central. And then I thought, oh, okay, I'm the idiot. So, Jerry, come on at 8:30.
You need your own podcast. Time changes. Time zones with Ben Reiser.
So, Jerry doesn't know what time zone he's
in,
so it's his fault.
You wanted to see what we'd say about you once you left? Hey, David Letterman,
Jerry's
what's
like
going
stoned.
On?
Jerry, what's going on? You smoke some weed before you go to work?
Don't you have to go to work? We can see you.
I don't think he can hear us anymore.
Can he hear us?
What the fuck?
That got a little weird.
Wow. Anyway.
So to let you know, we're going to have to cut this, but Brian, to let you know, we knew Kevin wasn't showing up.
If I had to say no, I would never speak. I would never say so. If you were to leave here, I'd throw myself down at your feet. You probably wouldn't stay though. Well, the bats in the city tonight, and I've asked them to bring me a life. Well, all that takes is a bite, and you do as I say now, do as I say now. Bats in the city tonight, and I've asked them to bring me a life. Well, all that takes is a bite, and you do as I say now, do as I say now. Giving up on hope, you just don't understand at all. It's worth more than gold. I really love her. And if you were to ask me, well, I'd ask you to leave, and that would be my answer. Well, the bats in the city tonight, as I say now, do as I say now. Bats in the city tonight, and I've asked them to bring me a life. Well, all that takes is a bite,
say now, do as I say now, oh. Well, I can never stop. You just don't understand at all. It's all that I got. I give her one good reason to stay here. She gives me two better reasons to leave. Well, the odds may be in my favor, but I got one more trick up my sleeve.